Have you ever thought about that while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb? I did. I actually bought two homes in Albuquerque that I Airbnb'd, and it was just an amazing investment, honestly, because, you know, as you are accruing value in your property, you are also making money on the Airbnbs. It's amazing. So your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have. It's an award-winning tequila. It's infused with real juice, with real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. It's real. So you need like two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail. Hey, you know how I'm always trying to keep my house parties exciting? New cocktails? Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's something that's going to flip the script.
Okay.
All right. 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Yeah. Tell me more about this, right? Oliver Hudson.
Yeah, 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila that's infused with juice from real fruits. You only need 2 to 3 ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
Wait a minute. I think I know what brand you're talking about. You know why?
Yeah.
Because 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend. It's female founded.
That's right.
See?
Sounds
See
like
how I know? Absolutely. Something I can get behind.
I know. Well, there's a good story behind that for sure. Listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila. Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling rivalry.
No, no.
Sibling rivalry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling rivalry.
That's good.
Oliver, I'm so happy because we finally got to get Andra and Nadia on Sibling Revelry.
They're just, there's special people. And Dee was amazing, and the work that she is doing, you know, again, and watching and with autistic children, and you watch her sister, who is this superstar, just revering her. You know, sibling revelry at its best.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful to sort of watch, you know, how she gushes over her service and her life and what she's doing.
Yeah.
I cried. I cried a little bit. No one saw.
Inside, I know. And you could tell Dee's energy is just really amazing. She's got that. She's got that special sauce, you know, that you can't. It's like you just know she's got a really beautiful soul. But anyway, no need to keep anybody waiting. This was exciting for us, and we loved interviewing them. This is Andra and Nadia. Oh, I'm so happy this worked out.
Yeah, me too. I'm so excited. Hi, Oliver.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much.
We were talking about your names and how often people probably get the pronunciation of both of your names wrong.
Yes.
People probably say Andra, but it's Andra.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And people say Nadia, but it's Nadia.
Nadia. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I want to clear that up immediately for everybody out there. What happens when someone gets that wrong? Do you just let them get it wrong, or do you usually correct them?
What do you do, Dee? Do you correct them when they get your name wrong?
I correct them usually the first time, and then they keep getting it wrong. I'm just like, you know what, whatever.
Yeah.
That's my name.
I think for me, I'm just like, it's fine. It's just more energy to be like, I know in most situations I'm going to walk and do, someone's going to be like, hey, Andra. I'm going to be like, hey, boo. And then just leave it at that. But I know you feel it too, because I'm sure everywhere you go, they're always like, Kapte.
Yeah, Kapte, girl. No, it's more like, Katie, it's more like I get every Kate.
Yeah.
I've been Kate Winslet. I've been Katie Holmes. I've been Kate Blanchett.
Right.
No, I'm not any of those Kates.
Yeah.
Well, good. I don't know. You guys have never met Ollie, right?
No, unfortunately, no. But I'm here now, you know. I'm here now.
Nice
we get
to
meet
you
now.
Right,
nice
there we
to
go.
Meet you guys. Do you and nice Kate do you and Kate know each other?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we met. When was Marshall the first time that we met? I feel like we met before. I feel like
we met before, but I think it was more like I was a fan from afar and we had like connections from afar.
Oh. Well, likewise, same thing too. Because I just remember meeting you and being like, "Oh wow, Kate Hudson knows who I am. This is crazy."
First time we met was at the Marshall, the Marshall premiere with Oprah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And where are you guys? Where are you guys right now? Are you in separate? States.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm in Washington State.
Yeah, and I'm in Los Angeles, California.
You know what I was thinking too, and we'll start this. I was saying during the Golden Globes, you know, our family was at home. We were all at home, and like I was sitting in, how they set up the weird rooms, and then next thing I know, it's like my category, and we're all sitting there. And like the whole family just is sitting around me. And I'm like, I don't know if this is what we're supposed to be doing, but like, and then I felt so relieved that when you were on that your whole family,
did they try to give you the thing in the beginning? They're like, okay, well, we really only want you on camera. And then I was like, no. And they were like, you and one other person. I was like, y'all, I gotta just tell you, it's gonna be everybody. It's going to be everybody.
I honestly think that they thought that my family would never like do that, but that's like who our family is. So it's
of course.
I didn't even get the memo. I remember looking at everybody else going, I'm not, this isn't right. This just is not right.
See, now I'm glad. So we saved each other because I felt the same way. I was like, oh man, they're really not going to be happy about this. But I was like, well, okay, if we've all been like quarantining together, you know, I was kind of like, what's the point of being like, it's not the actual event, you know what I mean? So I let them know in the beginning. I was like, sorry, I'm just gonna go ahead and break that rule right now.
It was so fun and it was such a joy to watch you win.
Thank you so much.
I just love you in that movie. You're just
thank you so much. It was crazy, my gosh, that experience.
Well, let's start now. It's about you guys. So let's start with, where did you grow up?
Let's see. Where did we grow up, Dee? We grew up in San Diego, California. Southeast. Mm-hmm. I'm very specific. Southeast San Diego. Just in case everybody's wow.
Yeah.
Well, because I think like, you know, San Diego is like very much a tourist place. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like a vacation town, sleepy town, senior town, whatever. You know, so yeah, I think everybody assumes if you grew up in San Diego, then you had like a really great house by the beach, which would have been the bomb. I would have been so happy with that. No problem. But, you know, I like to, where we grew up, it was like primarily like minority neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? It was like, and I feel like most people just don't know about this area, that it doesn't exist. But that's where all my inspiration comes from. You know what I mean? With the art, the music, with everything. So I like to, you know, tout Southeast San Diego specifically. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, people like, have a different idea of what San Diego looks like.
100%.
They think San Diego, it's like surfboards and
absolutely.
College town. Yeah. And totally. Yeah.
And the city actually wants it to stay that way. So we kind of get like dusted under, you know what I mean? But now I'm like, oh, okay, cool. As soon as I get this Golden Globe, I'm bringing it right back to the city.
How many siblings are there?
There's four of us in total, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's me, her, and two brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jackson.
And who's the oldest?
Yeah. I'm the oldest.
Nadia's the oldest, even though she looks the youngest, right? This this industry's stressing me the fuck
out. She always says that. Really? Look at her skin, Lamar.
No, no, no. Billie Holiday snatched my youth, so now my older sister looking like the one I took care of.
Hold on. I want to dive into that. I want to get into that for a second. It snatched your youth. I know you're being hyperbolic, but was it tough? I mean, did it really cause that much stress?
Yeah, I mean, it did. Because I was starving myself too a lot. So I lost the 40 pounds. I tried to do it healthily at first. And then I was like, okay, I can't look. You know how it is, the difference, like with your body. You lose weight now, then we're like heart, like, you, if you lose weight now the proper way, you look amazing. You look like your sister, okay? And you too, probably, Oliver, but I ain't seen you with your shirt off. Mm. But so I didn't want to have, like, abs. You know, it needed to be loose skin. And so I was starving myself. I did start smoking cigarettes. I was drinking hella gin. You know what I mean? I was not sleeping because I'm a musician. So the hours with filming is not the same. So, and the doctor was like, yeah, if you lose weight that way, your cheeks get gaunt, everything, it does take a huge toll on your body. So, yeah, you know, it was really cute. I'm just going to focus on the before the movie pictures, my before the movie selfies.
I don't know if people realize that when you're taking on certain roles, you actually prepare for them like an athlete. Like, you have yes. to get to this place and you'd be super disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it requires like that, you to actually go to places that can be really kind of really hard on your,
yeah,
even your mental state. But, you know, and also, you know, look, Lee is not, and, you know, he's going to push you. And I was, you know, had an opportunity to hopefully we were going to do this movie together and ended up not happening. Mm-hmm. But I got to spend some time with him, working with him, and he's intense. So
super. Yeah.
You know, when and it's a joy when you're an artist to work with someone like that, because I can only
It's like every detail. I also love like the spontaneity of it. So you just never know what's going to jump into the scene, or, you know, how, or sometimes he'll show up on set and just say, what do you think? You know, I like that he's collaborative too. What do you think? You know, you want to direct this, but he will not. I love it. For me, I was so terrified of just like sucking. You know what I mean? So the fact that he won't, he will spend whatever time, whatever budget he needs to get every iota of like authenticity. So I feel like that to me was like, okay, you know, if he says we got it, then we're good, you know?
So let me ask you a question real quick, because I want to get into the whole sort of sibling world. But, you know, when you do something like you did and then they wrap the movie, you know, do you feel as an artist in your guts that you just did something amazing, or are you just unsure, or do you kind of even think that you did shitty?
You know what? I honestly, my only barometer was Lee and everybody on set. I really, honestly, I mean, maybe because it's my first experience. Also, interestingly enough, the moments that I felt like, oh, maybe I kind of did, you know, I did that right, it was like, let's do it again. I'm like, oh, damn. And then when I would think it was like, then when I would think that was horrible, we're definitely going to do it again, they'd be like, checking the gate. I'm like, checking what? Like, so it's like, the only reason I had any idea that I did well was because of Lee being like, it is phenomenal, it's amazing, or my cast, you know what I mean? And, or, you know, my co-stars, you know, just coming in and saying, yo, you know, telling me, because I don't know what that feels like in myself. So, yeah. And then even leaving set, it was just like, all right, in my mind, I was like waiting for everybody to just be like, wow, she was terrible, but we expected her to be because she's a singer. So let's all move on with our lives. So, you know. It was just definitely not expected what happened.
But was acting ever something that you wanted to do?
I mean, a little. You know, not what I really wanted to do was take some time off for music, really take time off of music to focus on the craft of acting, to build it up. You know, because it's, like you said, you prepare for like an athlete, you take time. But I really was only going to do that just to do like a couple of little maybe bit parts, because I want to make films, you know what I'm saying? So I want to write and co-direct and co-produce. But I'm like, if I don't dabble in the world even a little bit, I don't want to just jump in all disrespectful like, hey, y'all, you know, we're going to do something. But
that's how I feel about music. It's the opposite. Well,
listen, you might want to jump on an album, Kate, because there might be some Grammys in your future. Wait, unless they already are, then
from
sorry for not knowing
from your mouth to God's ears.
Yeah, there we go, yeah. But yeah, so yeah, it was not fully, but you know, yeah.
So let's go into your guys, into like, okay, so you grew up in Southeast San Diego.
Yes, thank you. Yep. I just want to put on record that Kate Hudson says Southeast San Diego, y'all.
You have four siblings, two brothers, two sisters, and it's, you're the oldest?
Yes, I'm the oldest.
And then is it, so two girls, two boys?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How old are they?
Jackson, how old is Jackson now? 30?
Jackson's 30.
We're not really great with birthdays and ages. Jackson's the baby. Yeah, Jackson's the baby. And then Josh is 35.
I think. Yeah.
No, he's not. He's 34. He's about to be 35 in July. Okay. July 9th is my brother's birthday.
I know birthdays.
You know what's crazy? My day-to-day manager had to just be like, four, he's 34. I'm like, thank you, Josh. Other Josh, for telling me my brother's age. So we're losing as siblings right now, Nadia.
Yeah, this we really terrible. Are. I have to usually go online and look you up, and then I know how old you are. But I know your birthday.
Boom. Yeah.
I just forget.
You are how much older? How old are you?
I'm 41.
Mm-hmm. And you're 30?
36.
Mm-hmm. And same parents?
Same mom, different dads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like basically same dad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He was the one in your life.
He raised me. Yeah. He definitely raised me.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you were the first baby, different dad. Mom was like, that's no.
Yeah, that's
right.
No.
Burp. Mm-hmm. Right.
And then stepdad comes into the picture.
Yeah, I was 3, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Young. So he raised me. I mean, that's my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have the same situation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Okay. And who's?
Kurt came in when I was 3 and Ollie was 6.
Okay. Okay, cool.
I mean, then, our dad sort of left the picture when I was probably around 11, I think.
Wow.
You know, but I've had some reconnection.
Okay.
Yeah. But, it's through text, but it's something, but Kurt, for all intents and purposes,
the same thing.
Yeah.
Really?
Completely understand. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
I mean, we have a connection, but it is definitely through text. We don't really talk on the phone. We live in the same state, but we just don't have.
Was there a reconnection, Nadia, or was it always sort of a slow sort of burn with you guys, or was there a separation and then an actual moment where you made the decision to say, oh, I want to get to know you better, or him to you?
Funny story. My uncle,
dark humor.
So my mom's brother was in prison with him, and so they ran into each other in prison, and my uncle said, do you want your daughter's phone number or address? And so he said yes, and he started to write me letters from prison. And
how old were you?
I was 27. Well, no, sorry. I was like about 25 at that time. So it was like, it was hard because I'm so connected to my dad. My stepdad. I hate saying stepdad.
I know. It's
because
so weird.
It's so weird, because he raised me. Like, that's pretty much all I knew,
Yeah.
I worked a little bit at the relationship with him, but it's such a different dynamic than what I was raised in. So I tended to kind of be standoffish, and I didn't embrace it, And I think I still am that way with him. I think he is too. We're still kind of strangers getting to know each other, after all this time.
It makes sense.
What's the connection with you guys, like now with your father? You know what I mean? Like, where is that relationship at, if you don't mind my asking?
No, not at all. I mean, so I've told this story a little bit before, but I mean, 3 or 4 years ago, I was doing a job in New Orleans, and it was Father's Day, and I decided to make a dark humor joke, and I posted a picture of my dad and Kate and I in better times, sort of arms around each other, and I said, happy Abandonment Day.
Yes.
And the shit took off, right? Yeah. The press picked it up, and then it blew up into this whole thing. He went to papers and said, take my Hudson name away from your thing. He went off, right?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But it was a beautiful thing at the end, honestly, because what it did was it spurned conversation. So I hit him up. I got his number. I texted him. And we had a conversation where I sort of put him on the witness stand. We were just going over our whole journey. Mm-hmm. Then I saw him and had lunch or breakfast with him. And then I had lunch with him and we drank a ton of beers and we were crying. And it just developed into what it is right now, which is sort of a trying relationship. Mm. Not in the bad sense of trying times. We're trying, and we're giving what we are capable of right now. Yeah. But that stupid post was the thing that kind of brought us somewhat together.
It's probably like freeing maybe for yourself. You know, I think that's interesting, like the concept of forgiveness. I think we always think it's like, oh, forgiveness lets somebody off the hook. But to me, I look at it, it's like it frees yourself, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From like that kind of like trauma.
People always want to talk about like health and wellness. And I'm like, forgiveness is the number one thing that we all forget. Mm-hmm. Like if we don't understand how to do that, there's no peace inside of anybody. Like even the hardest, most challenging, traumatic situations, if you can forgive, you can find some sense of peace. I think, you know, you guys grew up quite religious, right?
Mm-hmm. I think we grew up. Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. Well, what do we say? I guess maybe we grew up religious and then
we grew up religious and then grew
out of the religion into like a faith. That's what we say.
I love that. I talk about that all the time, just religion and faith and how separate those two things are.
But growing up, I mean, did you guys all get along? Was it like what kind of household was it? Was it boisterous? Was it loud? Was it naughty? Was it
I lived there, so it was definitely loud for sure.
It was loud. Very loud.
I mean, what would you say? I feel, I don't know, for me personally, and I, you know, again, she was, you know, the older sibling, you know, so our experiences, it wasn't until I got older where I realized some of our experiences were different, right? But to me, I always experienced my siblings as we fought like normal siblings, but we've always been like best friends and super tight knit. You know what I mean? So I feel like when other stuff goes crazy, we just kind of were like, all right, why don't we just have a full breakdown together? You know what I'm saying? Like, so I feel like, I mean, the house was definitely boisterous. I mean, it's four kids, four different types of kids. All of us really have kind of bigger personalities. You and Josh are probably the more subdued. Yes. Jackson likes to pretend that he's subdued. He's not. He's exactly like me. But I think that it was definitely boisterous. But my siblings and I think, you know, drastic differences in age, but we were tight knit. You know what I mean? I think we were close. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It's like 5 years and then a couple, and then you and your brother are probably the closest in age.
Mm-hmm. And then Jackson is what, four years younger, the baby? Yeah. Jackson's 4 years younger than us. Mm-hmm.
So during school, like, was it a creative household or was it a sports household? Like, what was your mom into?
Mm. Dang. What, you know, it's really interesting. I feel, look at not, because clearly by mine and her reaction, we just didn't pay attention to shit at home. We just were like, look, well, how was the house? Like,
well, mom,
I don't know.
Mom was very focused on, I think, church and going to church and went to kind of, well, I'm just going to say it, a cult church.
Yeah, it was a weird ass church, bro. Yeah, it was weird. I was like, how come this guy keeps talking to us through a projector, bro? And why is he so old? But I was a kid, so that's it all looked the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was weird. Mm. People would ask us all the time, are you a Jehovah's Witness?
We're like, we don't know. We just know that there's free cookies at the end of every service.
It was like literally a culty type of...
It was like, I mean, that's extreme, D. You don't think that's extreme to be like, it was culty. I mean, it was weird as shit. Know. Like, we couldn't... There was a mix of a lot of things.
Well, we couldn't celebrate Christmas. We couldn't celebrate Halloween. We couldn't celebrate...
Birthdays.
Yeah, we couldn't. Yeah,
but it was a mix of a bunch of different things. So it was all the restrictions from every religion basically placed into one thing. Yeah, it was weird. Yeah. I was like,
wait, you didn't celebrate holidays?
No.
Like and birthdays.
Do you go overboard with holidays now? Do you like have more Christmas decorations than anybody on your block?
You first of all, actually, oh yes. My God, now that you bring this up, my neighbor was just laughing at me because we just took the damn reindeer down. But like,
oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Kate still has Christmas lights up.
Yes!
I'm not even shitting. Like she, I think you've given up, Kate. It's like, fuck it. I'm just going to keep them up all year.
Yeah, just wait. I feel like me, I'm like the opposite. Maybe because I'm so bad when it comes to birthday celebrations, Christmas celebrations, any celebrations. I'm just like, you guys, can we just like hit each other up on occasion and hope it lands on one of those days, you know? Like, but my mom's like, really, my mother loves that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, Nadia, you're kind of in between. You like it, and I think you like doing it, but you also sometimes are like me, where you're like, okay, this shit is exhausting.
This is done.
Yeah.
When I bought my house, I had a huge thing and everybody came over and then I was like, done. Okay.
We're not
I had everybody over. I'm good now.
But now you're saying your mom doesn't subscribe to whatever that cult situation
is. No. My mom, like, she totally went the opposite direction. My mom was like, every sweet, every holiday, every decoration, everything. Yep. Literally, we have a whole downstairs area.
That's so interesting. Like, what would you attribute that sort of switch to? Or can you even pinpoint it?
I feel like... You said what? Being deprived?
Being deprived.
For a real celebration.
Like, fuck it, I'm over it. Yeah. She also, like my mom's still a person of faith, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, and I think she says for her, it was actually for, we are Christian. And so, you know, but again, I'm very specific about Christian faith and relationship and not religion, because I've got the crazies with the loud bullhorns lately. But so for my mom, she says that she attributes it to actually developing a real genuine relationship with God, with Christ.
Yep.
And actually that being freeing and it not being this thing that's like, you can't do this, you can't touch this, you can't da da da. And so when she was like, discovered that, she was like, oh, peace, I'm out.
And how old were you guys? I mean, were you younger when she actually went through that realization?
You would know better than me, Dee. How old were we?
I think I was 16 when I said, I'm not going back.
Yeah.
I think in a few years after that, mom kind of stopped going.
Yeah, she did. That's true.
Yeah.
I was too young. I was still just disappointed about like free cookies and shit. I was like, damn, man, no more animal crackers.
And stepdad, are stepdad and mom still together or dad and mom still together?
Nah.
Oh, no. No.
Okay.
It's funny when you get to this age and you realize, like, you know, when you're young, you're like, oh, those are my parents. They should always be da da da. And then you get older, like I'm 36 now, and I realize I'm like, oh, yeah, like that's just her ex dude. And then that's just his ex girl. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's just right. Like, that's really what it is. Like, now I know the dynamic. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
No, they're not together.
How was his sort of influence in your life? What was his vibe like?
I mean, he was firm, you know.
Yeah, he was. And yeah, he was definitely a disciplinarian for sure. We got whoopings like for real. he still tells the story of when we had, I was like, how in the hell did we move into the only house on the entire block in the entire neighborhood with a fucking weeping willow tree in the front? Like, how did we find the one tree that grows switches from the ground? Like, so like, I was like, but he always tells a story because he did it when he was young, I guess. When he told me, go pull a switch off the tree, I was like, damn. So I came back, I pulled it out from behind, it was a leaf, and he started dying laughing because... My dad was, he was a disciplinarian, he was strict, but he was funny as hell. I mean, he's like a clown. Funny. My dad is such a jokester, like, so, I don't know, yeah. Remember when he used to embarrass you when we'd pull up to, like, drive-thrus and he would do those voices, or he would be, like, bumping in that rickety-ass van?
Yes. Yeah, he would always say, because I hated that blue van. Like, it was embarrassing to listen to Tupac coming up into my high school with a busted out speaker. And then he would wear these holy shirts in the morning. So he's like, if you don't give me a hug.
Nipples out, bro.
So he's like, if you don't give me a hug, then I'm going to come out of the van and I'm going to embarrass you. I was like, oh my God.
My dad had a thing for mesh shirts like most men did back in the day. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, man, bro, why are your nipples always out? You know what I'm saying? Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Those practice football jerseys.
Exactly.
With the mesh.
That's what I was saying. It was artistic in sports.
You guys should get him one of those for Christmas.
Oh, dude, I know. That's a really good idea, actually. That's a good idea.
Yeah, it would be really funny. It would be a great Christmas photo. By the way, we should bring the mesh shirts back. Yeah. Those things were great. Guys in mesh shirts was the best.
Yeah, let's bring that back for sure.
That's a good one. Oliver, Policy Genius, here's what I love about this. This is the leading online insurance marketplace. The mission is to help people get insurance right by making it easy for them to understand their options, compare quotes, and buy a policy all in one place. Life insurance is something that we need because, God forbid, something happens and it then can protect your family and everybody else. We all need life insurance. What I like about Policy Genius is it gives you the opportunity to find out what life insurance policy works best for you. And it's all online. You can save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius.
Right.
Pretty good.
And you have someone there who you can trust, and they help you sort of navigate every step of the shopping and the buying process. And so here's how it works, okay? It's simple. You go to policygenius.com, and within minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need, and then compare that to personalized quotes to find your best price. Then when you're ready to apply, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and scheduling, which we all hate, and they do that for free. Policy Genius never sells your information to other companies, and it doesn't add on extra fees. So head to policygenius.com and get started right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right.
Each and every.
I'm falling in love with this all-natural deodorant every single day.
Oh, you?
Yes.
You are?
Yeah. No, for real. I mean, I'm using it every day. And you think of natural deodorant, and you're like, oh, that shit doesn't work. This is a natural deodorant that actually really IRL, like the kids say, it works. It really, really works.
It's a natural deodorant. It keeps you dry. It keeps you smelling great, even in heat. It works really well. Here we are in summer, which is when you really need it. It's founded by two women, which I'm always excited to support. Ingredients, simple, safe, and don't cause irritation.
And guess what? There's no aluminum.
There's no harmful ingredient. It's all vegan, cruelty-free, and sustainable.
So trust us. Because why not? You know, you need each and every this summer. And we have a special deal just for our listeners. 30% off your first purchase. Visit our URL, eachandevery.com/sibling, and use promo code SIBLING30. Don't wait. Get off your ass. Go get 30% off right now. Use promo code SIBLING30 at eachandevery.com/sibling.
I'm going to call you D now, since that's
this D.
I know.
Everybody calls me D.
What do you do for a living?
Oh, gosh. What do I do? I'm an RBT, so I work with kids with autism currently right now.
Amazing.
But my special kid, I just love him so much. His name is Christian, and he actually is graduating high school. So I'm kind of transitioning from doing the ABA therapy into my own daycare, home daycare. But I also have like a clothing type of business that I'm doing. I sell on Poshmark. And then also I write children's stories.
That's what I was going to say. If you don't talk about your children's books, I'm going to actually fight you when we get off the camera. My sister is a hero, to be honest with you. I was just about to say that. She's honestly actually the best of us, and we all know it, and we're all totally fine with it. Like, the rest of us are just kind of like bloating and doing what we do. But she works with kids with autism, writes children's books, and actually just started a daycare as well, too. So I don't know. I'm like super duper freaking proud of her, and just like, I don't know. I feel so proud to just say, wow, this is my sister. She's a hero. You know what I mean?
How do you work with kids with autism?
I work one-on-one with him. And I have a partner as well, that works alongside me. And we work in the house. And some of the things are just getting him, you know, he has behaviors. So just getting him, just on a routine, you know, personal information, you know, having him do it every day so he remembers, how to do it basically. And then, just doing tasks, taking him on walks, you know, just really getting him to go to his gen ed classes in high school. So I also follow him in high school, you know, at his high school as well. But just building that relationship, you know, like knowing that like you care about them. And even if you feel like they may not understand exactly what you're saying, he is verbal, but he's prompted verbal. So I have to like, you know, get, I have to prompt him to talk. But he understands. I was like, I care about you. You know, D cares about you. I just want you to know. And he will look at me and just smile and be like, D, you know.
She loves him so much.
I love him so much. I have, I swear to you, like half my camera, like my photo album is Christian.
Of Christian, yeah.
Yeah.
But I will say, I want to chime in here too, because I think a part of what Nadia's therapy is also is working with the parents as well too, and how to, you know, you can't discipline, right? Or raise, you know, a child with autism, this, you know, I think you just assume that they're acting out or they're not. So I think it's also therapy for the parents as well to how to actually, you know, manage and to not just cope, but to help, you know, the child thrive. So it's really amazing to see the work that she's done and how he's developed and how he's grown. And just every kid that you've ever worked with, it's pretty amazing. Yeah, it's definitely amazing.
Amazing.
What do you? I mean, what are the goals with, you know, when you have someone like Christian, or when you have someone, you know, do you have goals for them or aspirations that you work towards, you know, to make sure their life is as good as it can be?
Yeah. So in school, we have what's called an IEP goals. So it's basically a program that is written for each individual child. And so basically through the year, it could be something as simple as, you know, being able to do addition, you know, and then you kind of progress a little bit more, doing maybe harder addition, you know, multiplication, hopefully, you know, it takes time. And just doing it every single day, but you have to do it every single day, because a lot of times they don't memorize it, you know. They just know it because you do it with them every single day, you know.
And I think what you might be asking too, Oliver, too, is like ultimately what's the goal? Like that he can, how can he function as an adult? You know what I mean? Is that like what's the goal to?
That is the goal. Yeah, that is the goal. So they basically they graduate high school. And then they go into transition academy till they're about 21. So they actually have to go a little bit longer. So their high school, they walk, but they don't really get a diploma until they finish transition academy. And then, so the goal is basically to be able to have a job, you know, to be able to work. Some of the kids aren't, probably will never be able to get to that place, but we assist them as much as possible. And just get them to be as independent as we can.
God,
I just love her.
Do you ever look at D with all your with everything that you've accomplished and your awards and be like, damn?
Let me tell you something.
I mean, yeah, all I do is you're an incredible performer. You do amazing shit, right? But you look at your sister and you're like,
yes.
You're like, okay.
I mean, literally said it before in interviews too. And I'm like, and it's not that I'm nonchalant. It's amazing and it's a blessing. But the truth of the matter is all of this stuff I do because I love it, right? Because I always say I want to honor God and I want to serve people. But my real personal goal is just to be able to provide a platform in some way or whatever for my siblings, for my family, to do the things that they want to do, you know, like, so for me, it's like, even in interviews, I think people, and I feel bad because sometimes people be like, why are you so nonchalant? I'm like, my sister works with kids with autism. I mean, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, what are we talking? Like, you know, I do. I think I've always looked at her as a hero like that. But I mean, even more now, just as an adult, to see just like the path that she's chosen and how she's, what she's just made of her life and, you know, what she represents. It's like, I don't know. I'm literally floored by her all the time. So I'm not just gassing because we're in this conversation. She knows, all the siblings know, the three of us are okay. She's like superb.
Oh my goodness. That's just so amazing. And then the brothers, are they, what are they into?
Well, so how, so I mean, I can, you know, Josh is definitely, my brother Josh, or actually my brother Josh deals with like antique furniture and all that stuff as well too, but he's just, he's creative in sort of like the scientific way. So he does like alternative energy research. Right. That's the right title. I be feeling so bad, you guys, because sometimes he'd be talking to me about it and I'd be like, yes. And the mechanisms go with the doo-wop-isms and you got the shooby-doo-isms. Okay, we're going to get it all together. I'd be like, that's so amazing.
Yeah, I'm like,
so
I gotta go.
Oh, you're terrible, bro. I would sit there and listen. You're awful. but yeah. So he does that. My younger brother, actually, my younger brother is super creative. So I'm gonna say this out loud on this call. My younger brother is a songwriter, a singer, a musician, and a producer, and just like amazing. But I don't know. He's still younger, so he feels like, I don't know if I'm good enough and did all this stuff. So I'm saying this in the interview so I can basically force it and manifest it. But I want him to produce records with me because he's so, I mean, he plays guitar, piano, drums, bass, programs. Right? Like, he's actually really phenomenal. You know what I mean? I think it just, the idea of doing it scares him. But
and did he, was he young like you? I mean, did he come up with that sort of musical gene and just, was that in him? And by the way, for you too, where did you start as well? Is it sort of a two-parter? But
first of all, not like me. Yes, like me, but not like me. Like far, far, far better than me. And I'm not even just exaggerating. Like I always tell the label, I was like, y'all fucked up, but it's too late. You signed me already. You really should have got Jackson. You know what I mean? But
that's exciting.
Always, he taught himself like every instrument, you know, and I was started when I was young too. I think I discovered I could sing when I was like 6 years old and probably around the same time for Jackson too. And then I was introduced to Billie Holiday actually at a really young age when I was like 11. And so just like a slow burn kind of obsession with her and with jazz, you know, as I explored even more when I graduated really high school. But yeah, he's always just taught himself every instrument, has always just made music, has been great at music, you know, remember when he led like praise teams at church and stuff like that too?
Oh, yeah.
And just, he's always been so good. So to me, it's my goal for the next iteration of music is to just produce records with him, you know? So he's just like,
does he not want you to put him on? Meaning he's like, he wants to do it himself, or is he concerned at all about sort of, hey, you know, hook
like
me up,
nepotism?
Help me out.
He's probably like, I mean, it's never really been explicitly like, I don't want you to be responsible for it, but he is a hard worker. So he's like me where it's like, so I don't think that he is really like, oh, I don't want it to be through you. I think he just, for him, he's like, I don't feel good enough. Like I don't feel, which is so crazy. Cause I was like, neither am I. I don't like the sound of my own damn voice, but they still pay me for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, just come on and do it, you know, like, but he just is, he wants to, I need more schooling and I need to learn all of these little details. And I'm like, you can do that and you can also make records at the same time. He's very good. I'm going to eventually force him into it. I'm very persuasive. So that's what I'm going
to do. I can't wait to hear what he does.
Yeah, no, you definitely, he's so good. Nadia knows he's so dope. Wait, can I put it to you like this? So I've built this pseudo studio in my house. I don't play piano. I have a keyboard Nord Stage 3. I don't play guitar. I have a really great guitar. I don't, you know, work on these programs, Logic. I have all of this shit in my house just for the times when he comes over and visits and decides he wants to tinker around on stuff. So he'll get there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, you don't play any instruments at all?
No, I'm terrible.
Can you write? Can you write on anything? Can you write on piano?
Yeah, I mean... I can write. You're right. No, that's a good question too. So I don't formally play piano, but I can actually produce stuff on it just by ear. You know what I mean? So that's how I really do it, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, not to like, you know, I don't have the reason, you know, or the theory, the reason. Come on, sis. The theory and whatever.
In the house, like, was there a moment when you started to sing and everyone was like, whoa, she can really sing? Or was it like you just sang and nobody really
You know, because like some people have these things where their whole family's like, whoa. Other families are like, oh, she just sings all the time and it drives me crazy, you know. And
that one. Look, I'm off. That one. That one.
That was like me. That was my issue growing up. I think that's why I always had so much doubt, is that every time I would sing, everybody was like, oh, there she goes again.
Oh, goodness. Wait a minute. So you're actually just probably this amazing singer, and then we just weren't able to explore it. See, come on, Oliver. You got to just be like, whoa.
I had my own problems. My dad was gone. I was trying to figure my own shit out. Like, I couldn't be supportive.
No. I don't think it was really like a wow, she can sing. I think it was more like, wow, she won't shut up, or like, she better be able to sing, or like, I don't know. We just were always immersed in music, so nobody really cared, to be honest with you, that much.
I think I was shocked when I came back. I lived in Monterey for a little while. I came back and I was like, I did not know you could sing like that.
Oh, really? You had a moment. Okay. That's a revelation. Okay.
But then when you started singing in stores, as we went into the stores, I was like, okay. Because I don't like to be seen. Like, I just like to go in the store, shop. She likes to announce when she's there. I always call it singer's Tourette's that she has.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, okay, listen. She's not wrong. This is all correct. But, you know, it was just practice, D. You know, it was practice. That's all.
No, I know.
It's like, I'm just kidding. I was just fucking with her. It's like, you can't help it. Like, just random, just sneeze and melodies come out.
Yeah, like, and like, someone will say a word and you'll think of a song and, you know.
Oh, Kate, that's how we grew up. I mean, you would say something to mom or ask her some sort of a question. She would turn the question into a song for her own personal enjoyment and not answer what the hell it is you were trying to get out of her. And you're like, Mom, Jesus, just answer the question.
I love for her own personal enjoyment. She's like, ah. I feel like that's the kind of mom I'm going to be. Oh, poor kids.
Have you used your sheets yet?
Oh, yeah. My bowl.
Do you love them? I love them.
Oh, my bowl and my branch. They're both on my bed.
Yes. Bowl and branch sheets. I absolutely love these sheets. I'm very picky about sheets. These, to me, are a great price point for something that is right in between luxury and sort of inexpensive. I personally think if you're going to invest in a sheet, this would be a great one too. They wash amazing. You can wash them a million times.
So Erin, my wife, right, we call a brand new bed that's been brand new, it's newly made, it's called a freshie, right? And so the freshie gets made, the freshie bed, and I always say, are the B&Bs on? Because I don't like to say the full name. I'm like, do we got the B&Bs? We got the bowl and branches on. And then when she says yes, it gets very exciting for me.
The color I chose was sort of a pink, the blush, and it's a beautiful pink color. They're buttery soft, 100% organic cotton sateen weave. It's a perfect all year round sheet.
I love my B&Bs, and they're pledging to double U.S. assembly jobs this year, which is nice. I mean, there's initiatives. Oh, that's so nice. There's initiatives here that are forward-looking, that I dig to. And it's loved by three presidents. And it's also made to a higher standard, okay? They use a toxin-free process and fair trade certification to ensure that workers are paid fair living wages. Again,
love it.
They're thinking. It's not just about making dough. They actually have their minds in better places. To experience the best sheets you've ever felt, choose Bowl and Branch. You can try them worry-free for 30 nights with free shipping and returns. And our listeners are going to get an exclusive 15% off your first set of sheets with promo code SIBLING at bowlandbranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, B-O-L-L and B-R-A-N-C-H.com. Promo code SIBLING. Coors Light is the official beer of slowing down this summer.
Oh, I want to. That's just good. I love that.
You know, summer always feels like the shortest season, too, right?
I know.
And we just got it. We got to get our Coors Light on. It's a beer that's made to chill, literally made to chill. Okay. And you know why. I'll say it again. You can see blue everywhere when it gets cold. It's cold lagers. It's cold filtered. It's cold packaged. It's literally made to chill.
I need to chill so bad. I literally need to chill so bad.
I know. I'm excited.
I need the blue mountains. I need the blue mountains, and I want to, and then I want to crack it open, and I want to pour it in my new glasses that are beer glasses that Danny got me.
Yeah, because Coors Light can it can go two ways. That's right, because you can drink it straight out of the can, which is really beautiful and freezing cold. But if you have an ice glass and you pour it in a frozen glass, a frozen mug,
just give it a little extra ice on that.
Yeah. When you take a sip, there's a little bit of a crunch because it just freezes it just a little bit.
It's a cold lagered, cold filtered, cold packaged, crisp, refreshing. It's perfect for a moment to unwind this summer. Oliver?
Coors Light is the official beer of slowing down this summer because as the beer that's made to chill, we want you to savor every second of summer. Get Coors Light summer packaging straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. All right? Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I feel like they should have you do that for their commercials.
I want to.
I'm just saying that. I wanted to keep that in. Coors Light, I feel like that should be Oliver Hudson on your commercials.
I'm auditioning every time I read the ad.
Once all the kids are out of their 20s, like everybody's like, you look at each other around a Thanksgiving table and you're like, we're all adults now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, does it feel tight or do you?
Yeah.
Or could it be better? Honestly.
Okay. Don't say anything about my communication, D. Okay. Because you know that I still love you. No, I mean, in my opinion, I think we are all. It's almost like we sit around and it's not necessarily like, I mean, I guess you have random moments where we go, we're grown up, but I still annoy the shit out of all of them the way I did when I was young. You know what I mean? And then I feel like Nadia still basically takes care of everybody the way she did when we were young. you know, and Jackson and Josh, like, same thing. They just ignore me. Jackson continues to pretend he's not exactly like me. Josh continues to talk about the inventions and the stuff. So I don't know. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Would you say that I think that we're very close. You know what I'm saying?
I think we're really close. We're a close family.
Yeah, we are super, super close. You know what I mean? So yeah, and that's a blessing, honestly, because I know it's not always like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The more we interview people, the more we get people writing in about sibling relationships, you realize that they're so complex. Like, people who have really tight families that work their shit out and like deal with each other's nuances and
And each one has their own individual relationships with each other. You know, like you and D might have your own thing, and then D and Jackson have their own thing, and it's special and separate. Yeah. And sometimes you know, there's friction. Yeah, but it's all different.
Do you guys think there are closer relationships? Like, are Josh and Jackson and you and D close?
Yeah, it just depends on what they all like got me. You know what I'm saying? That one. I'm just kidding. I just use it as leverage. You know what I mean? No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, what would you say, D? What do you think? Like,
I feel like we're all close.
I know, it's so weird.
It's the same. I don't think that I have a favorite.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'll put it to you like this. Nadia doesn't have a favorite because she's all of our favorites. You know what I mean? So we're all close. But like I said, we all know that, like, all right, Nadia's, if we're going to save one, we should probably go with her. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
if the house is burning and one person needs to be thrown out, the can survive.
Probably.
D's going to do it. You're going to be D.
So wait, what about you guys? Is there like kind of a closer or, you know?
Yeah, it ebbs and flows. You know, it's also, you know, when you're coming from a family that has had instability too.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's just an interesting dynamic because, you know, we made jokes. I'm like, I didn't have the capacity to be the brother for Kate, to love her the way that she probably should have been loved as her older brother, because I was kind of dealing with my own shit.
Right, of course.
You know, so only sort of in our later years did she and I get closer and come together, you know? And then I'm having an amazing relationship with my younger brother now, who's 10 years younger than me, but is imparting all of this like beautiful wisdom, because I'm going through some shit right now just with anxiety. I was on Lexapro and I'm coming off of all a whole other story.
But he is
actually, you know, saying some pretty amazing things to me.
Right.
It is funny.
I'm like, my brother has severe anxiety. He's on antidepressants. I'm like laughing over here.
But you know, I just realized, I was like, you're right. When you have a sibling dynamic where you guys have maybe seen some shit and been through some shit together, like even earlier, just talking about absentee fathers, we're like, ha, 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 how funny is that?
Yeah. You're right.
I think it's something about like laughter. You know, who's that doctor or whatever? Sort of a while ago, I'm probably misquoting this because I can't remember shit, but like, you know, he heard himself, he had like cancer or something like that. And then he kind of like literally just went into a room to just laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and supposedly healed himself. It was something like that. I mean, but just the idea that like laughter and humor, you know what I mean, really is more than coping, but it's like healing. So no, it totally makes sense.
Oh God, for sure. And by the way, humor is literally the sort of backbone of our family. I mean, humor is our North Star
for sure. So thank you and your family for that. We know.
Yes.
We all actually benefited from your guys' humor. So thank you.
Oh man. So we should do some speed roundies, because that usually doesn't turn into a speed round.
Especially not with me. Wait, why did I have to do like a song association for L earlier? Like, and I just think people just assume they're like, you're going to just say something genius because you do music and you do. They were like, sing a song with the word together in it. I was like, next. They were like, a song with, I was like, a song with the word think in it. I was like, I can't think of anything. Next one, please. I came up with a rebound.
I got, Tevin Campbell. Raphael Sadiq. I've been thinking of you.
Oh, you've been thinking of me.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. Uh-huh.
From the first time I ever laid my eyes upon your face, I knew you'd be mine.
Give me my phone. I'm recording this. I'm recording this for Ray right now.
I love that.
No, I did do think. I did Aretha's think. I ultimately was able to find it after fucking 20 hours.
Okay, let's do this. One word to describe each other.
One word to describe Nadia. I don't know. I just want to say like love or perfect. But whatever. One word to describe Nadia is, can I say like solid? It just means like a rock. You know what I mean? Like just consistent. Yeah consistent. Mm-hmm, for sure.
Oh.
Don't be polite. It's fine.
For Andra is...
Ew, why did you just call me Andra?
I don't know. I got confused for a minute. Because I have to say Cassandra sometimes and then Andra. Because
my name, they call me Sanj. You should just call me Sanj. They call me Sanji or Sanj. Like, I was like, I never...
I got confused.
That shook the hell out of me. I was like, I've never heard...
I'll call her Sanji.
Sanji.
Okay.
Is it Sanji? That's so
weird.
That's what I call. That's what I call her, Sanji.
Cassandra. Yeah, Sanji. Mm-hmm.
Is generous, very generous. Just like with her time, you know, her just giving, you know. Mm-hmm. If somebody's in need, she'll just help them out, move them into her house. You know? She's just very generous person.
One word to describe your relationship.
I would just say peace. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say, I mean, to borrow your word, solid. I mean, we are, you know, we're just solid, you know. 100%. We never fight. We just, you know, we joke around.
That actually is kind of crazy. When was the last time we actually fought? I think it was probably, you know, the last time we probably fought was when you were a teenager and I would, when you got grounded and I wouldn't stop going to your friend's house.
Yeah.
That was annoying. Yeah, we really don't fight. That's crazy.
No, we don't fight.
Yeah.
Who's more patient?
I mean, Nadia. It depends on the scenario. It depends on... No, you're right. You're right. Because sometimes Nadia, her few, you know, like, even with the moving people into my house and doing this stuff, like, I feel like I have a pretty long fuse when it comes to that, or people, like, just doing weird shit around me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a lot shorter after Billie Holiday, though, I'm not going to lie. but... but, yeah, no, I would say, like... Damn, no, both of us are pretty similar, just different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I'm patient. I'm, of course, with kids, I'm super patient.
Yeah.
But little things like losing something, I go crazy. I get mad and then I blame my husband.
And I'm not married. What's your signs?
I'm a Capricorn.
Capricorn.
You're both Capricorns.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's January?
December 30th.
January 16th.
Yeah, December 30th for me. Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
What about your first concert?
My first concert. Do you know, Dee, did we go to any? I don't feel like we never went to ones when we were
literally
younger.
Literally, your concert was my first concert.
Oh, yeah, true. We didn't really have money for shit like that. The first concert I did go to, I remember specifically, was an NSYNC concert because I had this friend in school and she had this birthday party and she was obsessed with NSYNC. And so she was like, I just want all my friends to go to an NSYNC concert. So I had to pretend I knew the words the whole time I was there. I was like, fuck. Like, everybody was so into it. And I was like, oh, I just hook onto the one, like, I don't know. It's gonna be May. That's, like, the only line I could, like, remember.
But, also, I feel like mom was really strict growing up.
You think
so? She didn't let us watch stuff. Well, she didn't let me watch stuff.
Right. Maybe. First of all, she friend. We was just broke. She was just like, concerts are bad. I was like, nah, we just broke. You just came up with an excuse instead of being like, can't afford it. Yeah, I guess when it was at that weird freaking churchy whatever place, whatever it was.
Yeah. Who was the most rebellious as a kid?
You.
Was it me? Yes. Okay.
No.
But you were wild as fuck at one point.
I was wild, bro.
I remember going to the school one time, you know what I mean? And Nadia had to defend herself, you know, because we kind of grew up in the hood, whatever. Mm. So, like, you know, so she, people don't know that she's, because she has a different father, but my mother's black and white. So she's mostly white, but she's mixed with black as well, too. You know, people don't know. So people kind of pick, you know what I'm saying, start some shit with her, like when she was younger, blah, blah, whatever. So she had to, like, really fucking fight. I remember we pulled up to the school to pick her up from school one time. She was hella young, smoking cigarettes. My dad caught her. Another time we pull up to the school, she fucking slamming some girl into the bleachers. I was like, damn, she's crazy.
Yeah, because, I mean, people will come up to me and be like, well, your family's black, but do you fight like a black girl? And so I literally got into fights in the street just... People would come up to me.
All the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah. But, you know, but I would say, I think both of us, the two, you're talking to probably the two most rebellious in the family.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about your first celebrity crush?
I know yours.
Who was mine?
JTT.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
It was Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
And then it switched so crazy. Like, it was hella stark. It was like JTT, you know, because everybody loved him. I was like, oh, damn, he's on the cover of all these magazines and shit. But then it went from like JTT to like Ja Rule. I was like, what the fuck? Let's not bring that up. That's not, definitely not talking
about
that. You
had a crush on Ja Rule?
Yeah, I don't know. He was just like, and at the time when I was young, I was like, damn, he's so gangster. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't know. Or Tupac, too. Actually, Tupac, for sure. I definitely had a crush on Tupac.
Yeah, he was a sexy man.
Yeah, everybody kind of did.
Crush on Tupac.
Everybody kind of did. Who was yours, Dee?
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think. I would have to say LL Cool J, even when I was younger. I just thought he was... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just said even when I was younger, which means he's still... He's still your celebrity crush.
Oh. LL was the man. Except, I don't know if you remember this. You remember, I think it was the MTV Awards or something when he had the deodorant balls balled up in his...
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Why would you do that to us?
Just Google LL and deodorant balls.
Never. I have a problem with texters. I will never, ever do that. No, God, no. Even my mom, when she met him, when we were at, I forget, it was like the Grammys or some shit like that. I didn't even know. Like, my mom's never mentioned nothing, da da da, whatever. My mom walks up to me after we met him. She was like, oh my God, LL Cool J, you're so handsome. I was like, what? You've literally never said anything like this in your entire life. Like, I was like, what the hell? Yeah, she lost it on that one too. That's funny.
Oh man. Who is the tattletale sibling? It could be one of your brothers too.
I would say Josh.
Yeah, Josh was definitely the tattletale. Yeah. Mom. Yeah, he was definitely.
Oh,
yeah,
the one sure. Who's into the healing or the.
Of course. When he was like, yeah, alternative energy mechanisms, flux capacitor thing.
Who's the most dramatic?
I mean.
Wittiest.
Oh, go ahead.
I think wittiest, Cassandra.
Really? You think so? Yeah. You don't think Jackson?
Oh, Jackson.
Actually, definitely.
Jax, I have to say, yes.
Jackson, I think, definitely the wittiest. I think I am, but we know Jackson is.
But the combination of Jax and Sanji together.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Do you guys have anything from your childhood that you've kept? You know, something that's important to you?
God, what did I keep?
What's what I keep from our childhood? Just pictures, I guess. Like, yeah. I think it's just mainly pictures. It'd be crazy if I still had that damn sleeping bag. I sucked my fingers and like, I think I'm also on the spectrum. I sucked my fingers and was like, had this sleeping bag. My parents tried to throw away till I was like, I mean, shit, I was damn near 30. I'm not gonna lie. It is what it is.
What are you talking about?
No.
This finger too. No, so I'm flipping people off while
serious. Yeah.
Well, my daughter's almost 8 and she still like sucks her thumb with little blankie and I'm kind of like Rio.
Right.
Her name's Rio. I'm like, when are we going to end this? You know,
you got to get in there. Like, you got to get in there because she might be 26, 27 pulling her blanket out of the trash can that my parents put in there. So, I just feel like just pictures, right? Probably
pictures. I think I have my old like journals.
Oh, journals. I like to write.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, my God. I used to write journals like a crazy person. I'm kind of just getting back into it. But I was reading through some of the journals. And you know what the fucked up part is? Mm-hmm. I'm 44 years old, and it seems like nothing's changed. I'm like, I've got the same issues. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And I went through New Year's Eve resolutions throughout the year.
Yeah.
They're the same fucking resolutions.
I know. Same.
For sure. Mine was like, I feel like I was looking at old journals and I was like, I think it was a reversion for me. I was like, oh, wow, I'm doing pretty good. Then all of a sudden I was like, how the fuck did I go backwards? Like, it's okay if I stayed in the same place, but like, how did I go this and then like take 10 steps backwards? I was like, oh, when did that transition happen? You know what I mean?
There's something funny in this. There's something funny in the journal.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm getting like movie ideas.
Yeah.
Best advice you've received from either parent?
You want to go deep, you know?
I think Dad always told me to make sure that I always have a savings, you know, always save, always pay your taxes.
Yeah, I think from mom was a praying mother, and that has really served me for sure. You know what I mean? So just to remember, like, you know, why you're here, to remember that you have a purpose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's intentional. And then my father would always say to me, if you don't have anything going, you don't have anything coming. You know what I mean? So that kind of always definitely stuck out to me. Cool. Definitely.
Ooh, those are so good.
I know. All right. Well,
I'm curious about your guys' actually. I'm curious about that one. What's the best advice I think you guys received?
Well, for Kurt, my 24th birthday, and I still try to figure this one out. And it's very simple. I was trying to be an actor and, you know, trying to make it happen, but not working that hard. And I was just in a moment. And he goes, you have to stop giving a fuck what people think about you. Mm-hmm. You give too much of a shit about how people perceive you. And the minute that you can truly let that go, you will be free. mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I believe that. And I still, to this day, you know, I try to live by that. It's not easy for me personally, yeah. but, you know, it's really a good piece of advice because it just frees you up. Yeah. Because you're not concerned.
Yes. You know? Yeah, that's good. That's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about
that's good.
It. Mine was actually for having kids. Mom said something to me. I was getting really sad right before I was about to give birth with Ryder, my first one. I was really young. I was like 23, 24. And I was getting really like, I was sitting in front of the mirror and I was looking, I was so huge. I gained 70 pounds. Ooh, and I wow. was like, I was just sad. And mom said, you know, she goes, you have every right to be sad. She goes, you know, this is the only time your son or your child will ever really belong to you. And then I was like, it kind of clicked. And then I was like, oh my God, she goes, you know, the second your kids come out, they just don't belong to you anymore. They're right. their own wow. spirits wow, and goodness. Entities. And it's your job as a parent to just help guide
it's so
them.
Sad. Help it's so guide sad. Them. Meanwhile, you're like, why did you say that? Oh, Jesus Christ.
She's like, that's horrible. Oh, honey, stay sad. Stay sad. Like, oh, all right.
The last question is, it's a two-part question. The first part is, what is it about your sister that you would love to emulate, a quality or a characteristic that you wish you had more of in your own, you know, personality that you'd love to emulate? The other part is, if there was one thing you could take away to relieve your sister of that you think would sort of better their lives or give them more ease, what would that be?
You want to go first, dear?
No, I'm going to let you go okay. first on this one.
I think if there was something I can emulate, you know, obviously, as I said, with the service, but just a quality that streams through all of that, I think is follow through. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a really huge, I feel like Nadia and I are similar in the sense that of like coming up with ideas and being able to like kind of be innovative and do all these things. But as far as follow through and execution goes, it's just more of a struggle for me. You know what I mean? She will like come up with an amazing idea and she's actually kind of a freak because I feel like there are two different brains of people that do execution and follow through and then other types of people that kind of come up with ideation and do all that stuff. I don't know the fuck she was on when she was young, but she just like idea, you know, innovation, idea, implement, right? Execute, follow through, like all of that stuff. So I feel like that's a part of her because she's just such a hustler to me. Like she's always grinding. She's always coming up with ideas and she's doing them. You know what I mean? As opposed to just coming up with ideas. So I think that's something with her for sure, other than her heart that I would like to emulate. And what I'd like to alleviate is just the pressure to feel like she has to do that. You know what I'm saying? If she has to do that to survive or has to do this or whatever, da da da, I have to do this for everybody and do all these things. So it's the thing that, it's interesting, the thing that I admire most about her is also the thing I don't want her to feel like she's required to do. You know what I mean? I want her to do it because she, you know, just whatever, she loves it and she, you know what I mean? So I don't, the pressure of that, I would like to alleviate, I think.
Let's see. I think the thing for you I would want to emulate is she's just like, she's so driven, you know, and she's just like with all her projects. And I feel like we are similar in that way, you know, but she just has this work ethic that's like crazy and amazing, you know. Anything she touches is like turns into gold. You know, just like with singing,
I wish it would
acting.
Turn into platinum. Yeah.
But singing, acting, all of that, you know, she's just a natural at. And I feel like for myself, I have to really, really, really work hard to get to that place, you know? So I guess in that way, you know, I wish I had that, you know? Mm-hmm. And then alleviate, definitely. her sleeplessness.
I knew you were going to say that. Oh, my God.
She doesn't sleep enough. And, you know, I would definitely take that insomnia away from her. Mm-hmm. So she could.
We were just talking about getting a sleep expert on.
Yeah.
I want to get someone on to talk about that because, you know, it's such an important part of like repairing everything, like our body that needs sleep, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think that is?
I mean, first of all, I think society at large is anxious, right? I think we all actually deal with anxiety. I think we talk about it with specific people, but I just think sort of the culture and the busyness and the noise and the, you know what I mean? There's obviously internal mechanisms as well too, but I think that it lends itself to anxiety, you know what I mean? And to stress and to, you know, so I think it's, I don't know, especially because we work in a society that really, really, we operate within a society that really values, like, if you're always busy, you're always, like, this idea that we have to always be busy, we have to always be working, you know, which is crazy because we just talked about how much we admire that in each other. But I think that, you know, sometimes there's this feeling of, like, things left undone or things that are not finished or things left unsaid or things that are, you know, like, it's, you know, I think it's a little bit, I think it's internal, but I think there's external influences, right, that kind of cause that as well, too. I mean, there's obviously chemical stuff in the brain, too, that cause other people to lose sleep. And some people just function more off of less sleep. But, yeah, I think there's just a lot of just so much all the time. You know what I mean? There's no other way I can really put it. I think that
it's hard to shut off your brain.
Totally hard. Oh, my God. Yeah. And then actually... And then sometimes it just doesn't, you know, like I feel like sometimes I have this sound machine. Do you guys have like one of those like sound machines?
Yeah.
That make a little?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but it's like trying to, because I had this sleep therapist one time. I was like, okay, you need to be in the room asleep, you know, be in your room with all the lights off and no sound at all. And the next day I was like, bruh, I'll never do that again because the shit inside my head is so loud. Like the shit in here is just like. So fucking loud. So I just think,
Do you meditate?
Yeah. I do prayer and devotion in the morning. So I like, you know, I wake up, I pray, you know, I read the word, I meditate on what it is that I read and what it is that I'm, you know, to do that day or, you know, where I'm supposed to be, whatever. And so that does help me. And I do notice a huge, huge, huge difference when I'm like this year has been so busy. So like, I'll look in like my devotion journal and I'm like, damn, before it used to be crazy if like a day would go by because I need, you know, in order to function. And a week goes by, 2 weeks go by, and I'm like, why am I just cussing everybody out for no reason and going crazy? Not always for no reason. Sometimes I have a very good reason, just an FYI. But yeah, so I think that does help me for sure, you know.
Yeah.
And weed, I mean, you know, like a edible. I mean, you know, it's
you know what's so funny? I don't, and I will tell you for the first time this year, and I've done it a couple times, and I've actually like taken an edible a couple times, and for the first like few times that I did it, it was the only thing that could actually like help me knock out. But then it was like, I would take it, and now I'm like, oh shit, I can't sleep, and now I'm up. And when you stay awake through that shit, for me, I was like, the way I feel at night, I was like, whoever lives in the house with me is like, fuck. So I guess the sleep therapist was saying like anything, like with melatonin, you can build a resistance to it or cause your brain to stop producing. So I was like, oh my God. So there's some practices that I can do that were working for me, but I stopped them because my work schedule works at night, you know, when I'm working on music. So I'll pick them up back again once all this, you know, stuff is kind of done. But yeah.
It's also interesting. Mm-hmm. Like I find that when I'm not drinking, like I'm working out hard and I'm eating.
Mm-hmm.
I find that when I'm really training and eating and not drinking that I sleep better. Like my sleep.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Of course she would come through. Damn Fabletics. You had to remind me to get in the goddamn gym. she's like talking. I'm like, so healthy practices, huh? Okay, all right. Let me look into that.
You guys, this has been so great. I'm so happy we finally got to meet.
Thank you. Yes. Likewise. Oh my God, I enjoyed this. We should just do this again, just on like off camera on some GP shit because you guys are cool as fuck. Yeah, seriously.
We will.
I'm in. Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson and Oliver Hudson.
Producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.
If you want to show us some love, rate the show and leave us a review. This show is powered by Simplecast.
Comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.